Father, we come to you through your son Jesus. We come boldly into your throne of grace because you said, come on in. And we come because of Jesus. And Lord, today we declare that we have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart that's prepared to hear from you. Father, words, Father, that we need today and maybe we need through the week, Lord. But I thank you we hear, we see, and we receive words. And Father, we will come out of this place stronger and changed and empowered in the name of Jesus. How many believe that in faith? Oh, that was weak. Come on. Gee. All right, so I was challenged by this pastor, you know, like, change it up. I was like, oh, I love change. So I'm going to do things a little bit differently, okay? I'm going to spit out a lot, and if you want the notes, because they're probably not going to, a bunch of this is not going to be on the screen. I will have on the front seat my notes, or you can ask the guys in the sound booth. You can take a picture. But I will give you scripture references. So I'm just trying something different, and it may just, you know, not work, whatever. But, you know, so anyway. Hey, who was with us for the month of January? Chink. We talked about Proverbs, and Proverbs was screaming out for wisdom, right? Proverbs calls out wisdom. So how about if wisdom is calling you, point to yourself, not to your neighbor or your spouse, to go deeper? What if wisdom is calling you to go deeper, deeper with God, deeper? Now that means, change is good, change is good, change is good. It's my mantra here. But that means I'm going to have to get out of my comfy. That means I might have to change up a few things, right? It might mean a lot. So I want to talk about, for the next couple weeks, and today we're going to talk about, let's go deeper with God. Now, point to your neighbor and say, let's go deeper with God. So I want to talk about today going deeper in our faith, okay? Now, the Bible says some things about faith. And if faith is actually a substance, and it comes one way. And we're going to talk about that, all righty? And open up to Hebrews. I'm not going to, per se, I just want you to look at Hebrews. Just hold that. How many of you have ever read the book of Hebrews? How many of you know what the book of Hebrews is called, or the chapter 11? It's called the Hall of Faith, right? The Hall of Faith. How many of you have heard about the Football Hall of Faith? None of you? Even I know about this, okay? The Football Hall of Faith. Thank you, because of my brother, I learned this. But the Football Hall of Faith is got all these exceedingly great athletes, football players, and their coaches, and they get inducted into the Football Hall of Faith. Well, God has his own. It's called the Hall of Faith, okay? And it's about these great men and women. And you'll read them in chapter 11, so write that in your homework, read chapter 11. Great men and women who had faith. And it's written there to encourage us to go for it, to go deeper, to go to the next level. So that's why it's in there. Now, I'm going to read a couple statistics. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, about these great men and women, 16 detailed examples are of people who walked by faith. Okay. 12 are examples of faith that obeyed. Everybody say obeyed. My kids probably could have choked every time I said that word. Oh, she said it again. But listen, it's in the Bible. So 12 examples are faith that obeyed. 3 examples are of faith that spoke what they believed. And 1 was an example that faith received answers to prayer. Okay. Now, did you notice 12 out of the 16 was about faith that obeyed, all right? So what do you mean faith obeyed? God gave somebody instructions, and they went and obeyed it. They did it, okay? And because they did it, it was life-changing, all right? So 75% of the examples in the Hall of Faith have to do with faith that obeys. Everybody say obey. I love to obey. You don't have to say that yet. Okay. Now, think about this. The guys in Hebrews 11, okay, one of them's Noah. And it says, by faith, Noah built an ark. Everybody know that story? Right, by faith. Okay, now, aren't you glad he obeyed and built the ark? One, he wouldn't have his name written in Hebrews. And two, you and I probably wouldn't be here. Come on, stay with me. All right? And how about this one? It says in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham left his home, his people, his community, and he went to a place he had no idea where he was going. Now, how many of you, your spouses, get in the car, we're going someplace, and you go, where are we going? I'm not telling you. Well, I'm not going. All right? But this is Abraham, and he obeyed when God spoke to him, all right? Another guy, Moses. Moses, it says, by faith, Moses left Egypt. Now, how many of you live in a palace? He was living in a palace. He was one of the princes of Egypt. I mean, he was living this very lavish life. And it says, by faith, he left there and went to the wilderness. All right? So God spoke to all these people, and guess what they did? They obeyed. They did it. Now, God didn't tell them to do this so their life could be miserable. God spoke to them, and they did it, and it was because God wanted to have a change in their life. Matter of fact, make life better. So faith that obeys. So we're going to talk about obedience, faith, but if you're taking notes, jot this one down. Here we go. This is kind of like our main idea here today. Ready? Deep faith develops faith. Deep faith develops faith. So that means if I have deep faith, something's going to happen. Deep faith, if I have deep faith, something's going to happen, okay? Now, I use the word develop not because it says deep faith, da-da-da-da-da. But listen, develop means it's a process. Deb, you're making bread. That thing's got to sit for a while. It's a process. It didn't happen overnight. No, we're going to have it today. Jim's talking to Deb. She's making pizza. Okay, deep faith is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. So that means you have to, better yet, the Bible says, by faith and patience, they inherit the promises of God. By faith and patience. They inherit the promise of God. That means every single promise that you find in God's word, every single promise you can inherit, and it's going to happen through faith and patience. Hallelujah. So we want to learn about developing our faith, all right? Now, I've said this a couple of times, and really I remember the first time this pastor said that, I'm like, oh, that's good, I'm going to say that. And I probably say it to myself more than I say it to anybody else, but I've said, no perfect people allowed here. No perfect people allowed here. You know why? I'm not saying, hey, you can live any way you want, and you don't have to follow God, and you can do the big, bad, and the dirty, okay? I'm not saying that. But listen, it's saying, no matter how spiritually mature you are never perfect. Okay, in comparison, here I am, and here's Jesus, okay? I'm not going to get there, all right? He's the perfect one, but man, that's okay, because I am going to develop, I'm going to grow, I'm going to keep going, I am going to keep trying this, all right? So, it's a process. Everybody say, I'm going to grow. You don't have to say that, okay? So, if you have deep faith, then you're going to do something. And if you have deep faith, you're going to start having fruit in your life. Deep faith produces fruit, all right? Turn over to Romans 10:17. Deep faith develops fruit. Romans 10:17. Here we go. So then, faith comes by hearing the word of God. All right. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this, and right before he wrote that, he wrote, how you can become a Christian, how you can be born again. And he says, you have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, right? And then he says, you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth of that Jesus is the Son of God and you'll be saved. Everybody ever know that? Romans 10, 9 and 10? Okay. Then he says, right after that, he says, well, how are they going to get saved? Well, there has to be a preacher and then they have to hear, okay? And then he says this, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So he makes a statement and he's really saying, whenever you hear scriptures, everybody love your Bible, right? That's where the scriptures are. Whenever you hear scriptures, whether it's for salvation or anything like that, whenever you hear scriptures, it has the capacity to produce this substance called faith. Hearing the word spits out faith, all right? Now, you have to do something with it, all right? You have to do something with this faith. Every time you hear the scriptures, you have to do something with it, and it will produce faith, and things will change. What happens if you just hear and you do nothing? Right, nothing, okay, all right? All right, dissipate is such a more mature word, right? Okay, so now, are you going to go to heaven? Yeah, I asked Jesus Christ to come in my life, okay? But God wants to take you from this level to this level. Everybody say, I want to go deeper. I want to go higher, all right? I want to go higher, okay? And God wants to grow you. He wants he wants you to go deeper. He wants to set you free. He wants to clear anxiety out of your life, clear fears out of your life. He wants to set you free from any kind of sin you can think of. God wants to set us free, and he wants to grow us, all right? And in order to have that to happen, when that happens, we start having fruit in our life. So we got to go deeper. We got to go deeper. We got to go deeper so we can have fruit in our life. Now, turn over to the book of James. James is a book written by James, okay? But let me tell you about this book of James. I was just reading this last week, and I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that. I was reading a commentary, and there was this big debate whether they should put the book of James in the Bible. Because some people thought that there was this contradiction between what Paul had said and then here comes James. So they're like duking it out. Like, I don't think it should be there. And so Paul says, right, we are saved by grace through faith and not of works. It's a gift, right? That's how you have salvation. It's a free gift. It's not by works. And then James wrote this, right? He says, faith without works is dead. So people thought they were just duking it out. There's this big controversy. There's this conflict, okay? But no, guys, no, that's not what's happening. James was saying, after you do what Paul says, Romans 10, 9 and 10, after you accept Jesus Christ into your life, after you do that, then you have to faith that has to have works, okay? So praise the Lord. I lost my place. Where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. So I want to clear this up because someone said this, and I'm like, what? You thought that? So, you know, sometimes we think salvation is this one-and-done prayer. I pray this prayer. I believe Jesus, you're the Son of God, and I believe in my heart, and I confess in the mouth that you are Savior, and I ask you into my life, and I'm saved. Sometimes people have thought, and you know, so pretty much after services, I will go, hey, would anybody like to accept Jesus? And you can think, and I want to clear this up, this is not a one-and-done prayer, okay, a salvation prayer. It's not a one-and-done thing, all right? As a matter of fact, that's how you enter the kingdom of God, but there's got to be more after. There has to be more after that, all right? Or else you're just at this level. So we want to grow and go deeper. So we're going to go into the book of James. So James is the half-brother of Jesus, and James didn't believe Jesus was Jesus, the Son of God, while Jesus was alive. Like, that's my big brother. He's such a pain. He's such a big mouth, okay? But after Jesus died and rose from again, James was a believer. As a matter of fact, he became the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Okay, that's pretty good. From someone I don't believe to I believe, and look what happens, okay? So that's all about James, and he writes this book. I'm going to read something. This is my pastor friend challenged me to do something different. I'm going to read some stuff to you. You can get my notes because they're a little long, but here we go. James, this is sort of like a synopsis of the book of James. And the reason why I'm going to do this, I really hope this week, James is only 5 chapters. So how about this week you go read the book of James? You could probably read it a couple of times, okay? So this is why I'm doing this. James is writing this book to Jewish believers, all right? But it's also for us all believers. His original audience loved the world. Everybody say the world. They love the world more than God. And that's James chapter 4. So he's actually saying, you guys are backslidden. You guys are like sinning. You are living in sin, and now you are far from God. So that's what he says, all right? And then, and they were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus by other Jews. They were being tempted to deny Jesus and go back to Judaism. That is what the first 18 verses of chapter 1 addresses. And the most famous statement that everybody knows is verse 18. It says, count it all joy when you fall into trials. And we'll talk about that later. So here we have these people that James is writing to, okay? They were Jews, and they accepted Jesus as the Messiah. So now we would call them Messianic Jews, okay? They believe Jesus is the Messiah, okay? And so once they accepted Jesus, they're not going to that church, the temple, that doesn't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So they stopped going there, right? They stopped going there, and they're now there, the temple, it's their whole life. It's all their people. It's their community. It's their people. And they stop going there because there doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the only way. So that's a good decision, right? You think. It is. But if you owned a business, you're that Jew that is now a Messianic Jew, a Jew that believes in Jesus. If you owned a business before, all your community would come shopping at your place. So now you're a Jew that believes in Jesus, Jesus the Messiah, and you all stop coming to my place to buy my stuff. Well, guess what? My income's going down. And if you were one of those people that James is writing to, and maybe you worked for this guy who's part of this community, this church, and I'm not going there anymore. I worked for him. I'm an employee, and he fires you. That was the persecution that was going on when they made that decision. And I always tell everybody this. I grew up in North Jersey, and a good bunch of my friends were Jewish. And one of my friends married the rabbi. And I would pray for her. I still do. I pray for her. And one day it dawned on me, this would happen to her. The day she receives Jesus, she will be excommunicated from the synagogue, all of that. And I was just weeping. But I said, Jesus, it's better with you, so that's okay. So I'm still praying for her. Her name is Linda. Please pray for her. So anyway, so they're experiencing all this great persecution, and then they start walking away from Jesus. Walking away from God, okay? So James is just trying to pull them up and get them to go to the next level. Okay, so keep reading. Here we go. I'm going to keep reading. At the end of chapter 1 and in chapter 2, James deals with a number one deficiency of Christians. And we can have this. This isn't just those guys over there, okay? Their deficiency, their faith didn't have corresponding actions. Their faith didn't have corresponding actions. That's James chapter 1. They only had, and they were on the verge of losing what we call salvation faith because of all of that, okay? They believed Jesus for salvation, but they didn't pursue him, all right? Obey what he would give them. So listen to this. Salvation faith alone is shallow. James is writing them to teach them what deep faith looks like. Everybody say, I'm going deep. I'm going deep. This is February 2024, okay? So, James chapter 2, verse 18. Here we go. Let's read this together. James chapter 2, verse 18. One of the most famous statements here, it goes like this. But some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Verse 19, you believe there's one God? Good for you. Even the demons believe and shudder. Okay, so verse 19 is kind of an insult. He calls them, you have demon faith. That's kind of an insult, okay? Now, there are demons. They are real. They are not angels, okay? And they're on the planet to harass you. Matter of fact, one of their big jobs is to tempt you to sin. It's one of their big jobs, okay? And James says, now this is what he says, listen, this is the insult. He goes, you know what? Every demon believes Jesus Christ. I mean, they saw him resurrected, okay? They know he's the Son of God. They cannot be redeemed. Side note, right? All right. And he says to them, like a real spit in the face, your faith is so shallow. It's like demon faith. Okay, everybody say, I don't want any of that. Okay, I don't want to do that. What do we want to have? We want to have deep faith. We want to have deep faith. Okay, now, we don't just want salvation faith. And yes, that is the beginning to come into the kingdom of God. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for you, that he, and okay, that's the beginning. That's okay. But after that, we want to have deep faith, all right? Deep faith. We want to go to the next level, all right? Now, I'm going to read this second part, verse 18 again. This is James, just going after them. You have faith. I have deeds. So that's what some of them are saying. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith with deeds. Okay, deep faith produces fruit. That's all he's saying. You have faith, it's supposed to produce fruit. Everybody say fruit. What's your favorite fruit? Apples. Okay, deep faith produces apples. Okay, I'm just being silly with you. Okay, but deep faith produces fruit, okay? Now, if you truly believe that Jesus and you've received him, you are going to start having fruit in your life. You're going to start having fruit. Matter of fact, you should be able to see the fruit. You should be able to look back, for me, 40 years and go, whoa, I finally got a hold of some things. There's been some change. There's some fruit, okay? So deep faith produces fruit. There needs to be some. Now, it doesn't mean that they didn't believe in Jesus. They believed Jesus was the Son of God. They did Romans 10, 9 and 10, okay? But it just means there's no fruit coming out of your life, their life, okay? Faith without works is what? Dead, all right, so. And all of us, the day you pray that salvation prayer, all of us, we're in this walk where we have to keep growing. We have to keep going deep. We have to keep being obedient to what God says. All of us, all right? Now, that was just my warm-up. Okay, so I came up with three. So I was laughing at myself the other day. I either give you three things or seven, okay? So today it's only three. Ready? The top three signs of what deep faith looks like. The top three signs of deep faith in your life, okay? Here's number one if you're taking notes, because you know we're doing that. It's part of being deep this year. Ready? Okay, deep faith loves God. Deep faith loves God, all right? So let me ask a question. What does it look like to love God? You should write that down. What does it look like to love God? So we just had worship. Woo! Woo, right? I was like, whoa, and then woo, and then whoa, and then woo. Okay, and you know, a lot of times if you stand next to me, you should stand next to me. I'm like singing in between the lines. But I'm like, Lord, I love you. I love you. I just love you. I'm in awe of you. God, I love you. So is deep faith worship that says that? Yeah, maybe part of that, okay? So what is deep faith loves God? What is it to love God, all right? What is it to love God? Maybe it's referring to something totally different, or part of it. Big different. Let's say big different, okay? So I remember I saw this years ago, and I was looking at this scripture, and I connected it to deep faith loves God. So they're going to put this on the screen. Write this down. This is what I saw. This just blew me away and changed how I, one of those changes on how you do life with Jesus. Ready? The person we love the most is the person we live to please. Okay, So one day, Jesus was asked this question. Hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? All right? And he goes, well, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, right? And that's important, right? That's how you, okay. But how do we show God we love him, all right? We love, the people we love the most is the people we live to please. The people we love the most is the people, the person, the one we please, all right? So, when I am now, I did this salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and I'm going to go deep with God, okay? So then, as I'm walking through my life, okay, there's going to be times I have to make decisions. Like, I make a lot of decisions. You all make a lot of decisions. But there's going to be times you make decisions where I am not going to please people, but I'm going to please the one. And not everybody's going to love you and like you, okay? So. Now, let me give you an example. I know this is far-fetched. Just go with me, because I was like laying in bed for 3 nights ago. I need an example. So I came up with this. Ready? Let's suppose I'm not Pastor D. Let's suppose Jack's still on the planet, okay? And we're young. We're young. We're skinny, okay? And we have all these young kids, okay? Use your imagination. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, okay? And we did the one-and-done prayer, because we're young. We did. And we got these kids, and we did the one and young prayer. And then Jack comes home one day, and he goes, D, I want to go to church. I want to go to that church. Okay? D, I want to go to the church. And I feel like I just need to be with other believers. And I also read in my Bible, forsake not the gathering together, okay? And I go, you can all hear my sass. I'm not going. No way, Jose. I'm not going. And Jack, and I just tell him I'm not going to church, all right? I tell him something like this. I'm going to look at the ceiling because I'm not reading anybody's mail. But and I tell him, are you kidding me? Sunday's like our only day off. Like, this is like the only day. The rest of the, like, even Saturday, we're doing laundry, we're cleaning, we're running kids around, we're doing errands. So Sunday's really our only day off. And we never get to roll out of bed and have a cup of coffee and make waffles for everybody. And just hang out with the kids. I heard that once. Okay. So, I don't want to go to church. All right. So, Jack has a decision. What do we say? The one you love the most, the one you live to please. This is, you got to stay with me, okay? So, he says, honey, you know I love you. I'll go to church, and then I'll just dash out at 12 o'clock, and I'll come back, and I'll make you lunch and the kids lunch, whatever you want. I'll hang out with you all day. I won't even watch a football game, okay? And I'll just, and I will be the best husband and the best dad, but I want to go to church, okay? And I say, I don't want you to go, all right? So Jack has to make a decision and say, I love you, honey, but I'm going to go to please God. Why? Because if I don't go, I'm not going to grow. I do know that. All right. All right. Here's another one. Take it from there. So this is Jack. He comes home one day and he goes, you know, honey, they got these grow groups going on. I want to go to one of those. I'm going to go to one of those. And I go, no, you're not. You're at that dumb church on Sundays and now you're going to go to a group. Ah. Okay. And Jack says, hey, why don't you come with me? By the way, try that. Why don't you come with me? No, I'm not going. No way. And he goes, honey, I love you. I'm going to be the best husband, the best father, but I'm going to go to the grow group. Okay. So Jack is not pleasing me. Okay. So we have to make decisions in life. I know those are interesting scenarios here. But if we don't, we're not going to grow. We're not going to produce fruit, and we're not really loving God. Amen. Happy place. Okay, here we go. Now, Jesus, Jesus even takes it higher. And you're like, are you kidding me? I barely made it over this hurdle. And he jacks up the hurdle. Listen to this. Luke chapter 14. Here we go. Luke chapter 14. I'm going to read this out of the Living Bible. It was probably one of the first Bibles I got. Amen. Anybody have a Living Bible? Okay, anyway. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Great crowds were following him. So he's got followers. He turned around and addressed them as followers. Verse 26. Anyone who wants to be my follower must love me. Jesus, God the Son, and God the Father, okay? Must love me far more than he loves his own father and mother and wife and husband and brother and sister and dog. Some of y'all with your critters. Gosh. But the next part is probably the hardest part that I deal with, and you might identify. Listen to the next part. Yes, this is Jesus. Yes, you must love him more than his own life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciples, okay? So what are disciples? Really simple. This is like super, super. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus. Like, doesn't say it, but follows Jesus, right? Follows Jesus, all right? Matter of fact, how about this? I'm going to follow him with a passion, okay? That's what it means, all right? Now, but listen, he didn't say, don't love your mother, don't love your father, don't love your wife, don't love your... He didn't say that. He said what? You have to love me more. Everybody say more. So whenever there's a decision we have to make, we have to decide, I don't care what anybody else is doing. I don't care if they tell me not to do this or to do this. I am going to follow and obey and follow the Lord Jesus, right? All right. Whew. Let me give you an example. This is a true story. This is my friend. Well, let me get into this. He's a new Christian. This is my friend Joe. He's a new Christian, okay? And so if you're new to the faith, or this applies to a whole lot of things. So he's living at home. He's about 19 years old, and he's going to the community college, and he's living at home, and he was raised Catholic. Any Catholics here? Yeah? Okay. And one Saturday night, he pulls his mom and dad aside, and he says, hey, mom and dad. Okay. By the way, he had just accepted Jesus. And one Saturday night, he pulls his mom and dad aside. He says, mom and dad, tomorrow I'm not going to the Catholic church. Now, if you're raised Catholic, that is called a what? Mortal sin, like the biggie, okay? Tomorrow, mom and dad, I'm going to go to the Protestant church. That means it's not the Catholic church, okay? And you know what his dad and mom said? No! Okay? And his dad said, if you go to a different church, when you come home, your stuff's going to be in the yard. If you go to a different church, you're not allowed back in my house. Okay, so dad's just going on this, all right? Because he's a Catholic man. Dad's Catholic, okay? Now, my friend Joe, he loved his mom and dad. He was really a good, out of the four boys and two sisters, he was good. He was really good. But he says, listen, it really bothered him, this thing, okay? So he says, Dad, very honoring to him, Dad, I feel that God is leading me to do this, okay? And matter of fact, I feel like he's calling me, Dad, to go into ministry. And Dad's like, good, you can become a priest. And he goes, Dad, I think we're going to have a problem here because priests can't marry and have babies. And I want to get married and have babies and grandkids, okay? And so Dad's like, no, son of mine is going to do this. If you do this, you can't come home. Your stuff's going to be in the yard and you can't. Blah, 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 blah. And very honoring, okay? Dad, I know this is your house. And I will honor you. I will love you. I will love you, okay? And I might have to find somewhere else to live. But I believe that I've heard from God, okay? So I'm going to go. So he gets up the next morning, and of course, Dad's last words are, no, you're not. So he goes to bed, gets up the next morning, and he goes to the other church. When he comes home, he looks at the front yard. Whoosh, nothing's in the front yard. Then he looks at the backyard. Whoa, nothing's in the backyard. I didn't throw my stuff out. Oh, I bet you he put it in the garbage cans. He looks in the garbage cans, nothing there. Okay, so then, now I have to explain this. So he's, by the way, Joe is Italian. He's got big last name that ends with a vowel. All Italians, last name ends with a vowel. Yeah. And so he goes into the house. And everybody's at so every Sunday they have a big dinner. Okay, they've got sauce, they call it gravy and meatballs and veal cutlet and da 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 da, all this stuff. So he walks in the house and everybody's sitting at the table and he sits down and he said, nobody talked. You could have cut the air with a knife. And he says, it was the worst awkward meal I have ever eaten in my life. Like it was so hard. Nobody talked. But guess what? Dad never kicked him out. He made a decision to please God. Now, so this is my friend Joe, and he's a pastor. and I have to tell you this. He said this. He says, he thought about this a lot. He said, I knew had I not made that decision, I would not be here today. He was pastoring a church. I knew had I not made that decision. Now, I have to tell you about the good part of the decision. Within a year, his mom and dad get born again and leave that church and go to this church, and his siblings, I mean, God blesses. He does really good things, okay? But he said, I often think, had I listened to my father, had I followed what he said, I am really sure I would have walked away from the Lord eventually. So, guys, the one you love the most is the one you live to please, right? So ask yourself, okay, close your eyes, don't look at anybody. What is it that maybe God's asking you to do that you need to do? What scripture has he put on your heart, okay, and that he says, you know, you need to do this, and you're like, and you know what? I know I love so-and-so, and if they tell me not to do this or do this, Lord, you are first, and I love you, and I will follow after you, right? And then, you know what happens when you do this, when you make these decisions? God just brings blessings in your life, okay? And just like Joe's family gets born again, right? So, verse 26, I want to read that again. That's the part, verse 26, where I said, man, that is the tough one, okay? The tough one. Jesus, remember Jesus, okay, verse 26, all right. The bottom part. Yes, more than his own life. Otherwise, okay, you must love Jesus more than your own life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciples, okay? So Jesus is saying, you have to love me more than your mother, your father, than yourself. Okay, now I know you just think some days, gotta pray for Pastor D. But I get in my word and I read things and God's telling me to do things or not to do things. And I'm like, gosh, Lord, I don't want to do that. And then I have to go, Lord, I love you and I will please you, not myself. Amen? None of you have ever been that. Okay. So if you're going to grow, you have to love God and you have to follow after him. You have to do what God says. All right. Now, everybody say blessings. I love blessings. Everybody love blessings? I love, you don't love yours, I'll take your blessings. I love blessings, okay? So I wrote this down. Okay, listen to this. These are the blessings when you love God. Deep faith loves God. These are the blessings. Ready? We love God more than anyone, including ourselves, and he will work every negative situation out for our good. And that's found in Romans 8:28, right? Romans 8:28. And you know, he says, you know this, he causes all things to work together for good, but there's a requirement. There's one of them for those that love God. So when we love him more, he does this, the blessings, all right? All right? Second part, and we will receive 100-fold blessings of deep relationship, natural and eternal blessings. And that's found in Mark. You can write this down. Mark chapter 10, verse 29 to 31, and Matthew 6, 33. That's because I didn't feel like reading all these scriptures, so I, all right, so. Number two, deep faith, this is what it looks like. Number two, ready? Deep faith follows God. So if you love God, you're going to follow God. Look at your neighbor. I love him, I'm going to follow him. Huh? I love him, I'm going to follow him, okay? So, what do you mean by following God? What do you mean by following God? Well, we find out, one, we have to find out what he says. Go to the Word of God, find out what he says, and then we put it into practice, and then you start growing fruit. So, following God, this is where you're going to find out, okay? And then you're going to do it, all right? Now, Jesus does it again. I thought the hurdle was high enough. He jacks it up. Listen to this. It's Luke chapter 14. It's the next verse, verse 27. Luke 14, 27. No one can be my disciple who does not carry his cross and follows me. All right? No one can be my disciple who doesn't carry his own cross and follow me. All right. So, following Jesus is just following the word of God and doing it. So here we go. what does it mean to pick up your cross? Now, I came from, you know, the Catholic faith, and we had crosses on everything, like every doorway, over your bed and stuff like that. So what does it mean? Well, the cross is a symbol of death, right? The cross is a symbol of death. So this is what it means. If you are going to follow Jesus, follow the word, follow when God talks to you in the words, if you're going to follow Jesus, there are going to be times I'm going to die to how I feel about something, and I'm going to follow. That's all it means, okay? And I've heard some interesting teachings on it, but all it means is I am, you know, God, I read things in the Bible, like I told you, like this and that, and I don't feel like it. Are you kidding me? But I am going to die to my feelings, right? And I'm going to follow what he says. Real simple, okay? Now, did Noah feel like building an ark? Do you know how long it took to build that ark? Okay, did Moses feel like leaving the palace and the good stuff? I don't think so. Did Abraham feel like leaving his home community? I don't think so, okay? But every time us obey God, he promises blessings. Everybody say, I love blessings. I'm going to follow him, all right? Now, deep faith follows God. How about this one? James chapter 1. I swore I was going to tear this one out of the Bible. Like, God, this is like ridiculous. James chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse, terrible, hard, not fun stuff. I would read that in the middle of all hell breaking loose in my life and stuff, and I was like, I'm tearing that one out. Are you kidding me? All right? Now, I don't know about you, but that's hard to do. You're in the middle of who knows what, doctor's reports, whatever, okay? That's hard to do, okay? So, praise the Lord. It's got to, all right. So, what does it mean to pick up my cross? I'm going to pick up my cross, and I'm just going to do what God says. I'm going to count it all joy. Now, I have to say this. You do not count it all joy that all hell broke loose, that so-and-so died, that this person got sick, that your hot water heater blew up and your transmission blew up. We don't go, woohoo, count it all joy. I'm so glad it happened. Rejoice, rejoice. That's not what it means, okay? It means that I'm going to go, God, I look to you as my deliverer. I will rejoice in you. God, I look to you that you can fix this, so therefore I will rejoice because you're the fixer. God, I'm not going to complain. Anybody working on that? Just me? Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm working on that. I'm not going to complain. All righty? So every time I do that, the Bible says, listen to this, then you will be made perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Every time you run into this, ugh, and you decide, God, I'm trusting you, so woohoo, I love you. Every time you do that, you're going to be made perfect and lacking nothing, right? So that's when God grows you. That's when he grows you, right? Now, so we're talking about deep faith follows God. This is another one. I'm like, rip this out of the Bible, okay? The Bible says we're to forgive. Rip that out, okay? Because how many of you ever feel like forgiving somebody? How many of you hung on the side of the bed all night? Because you didn't forgive, all right? And you're still mad at them, all right? I said, none of you, okay. Matter of fact, how many of you feel like fighting them, right? Just, okay. But you have to make a decision. I will follow God. I'm going to forgive. I might forgive, okay? Now, do you feel like doing it at first? No. I'm working on the first, okay? But that's when God, when I do, I forgive. That's when God starts working in me. And if that person never changes, I'm going to forgive. Whatever they did, whatever they said, I'm going to forgive because I don't want to be stuck in the prison in unforgiveness. And that's what happens when you don't forgive. So everybody said, I forgive. I'm going to forgive them, all right? Praise the Lord. All right, here's another one. Deep faith follows God, follows his words. So long, long time ago when I was real skinny and I was 21 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. I'm over here at York College. I just started my senior year in college, okay? And I did the one and done prayer. One, I never had a Bible. Someone did give people Bibles when they get saved, okay? So I didn't get a Bible for like 5 months, okay? So I did the one and done prayer, and I'm not really following God. But then I graduated college, so it's like a full year later, and I'm in this small group. I'm in this small group, and we're having this, talking about scriptures, and we get to this discussion about people in our life who have a positive effect, that we should surround ourselves with them. And then we talked about people in our life that have a negative effect. And I knew what God was saying, because he talked to me, and I read, it says, bad people can corrupt your character. And that's all the friends I had. I just graduated college. I only know the two people in this grow group, and the rest of my friends were out doing. And we got to this, and I'm like, God, what do you mean? I can't hang out with those friends. And let me tell you, that was hard. But I decided to do it. Plus, I had some accountability, praise the Lord. So sometimes it's hard, all right? So I'm going to say, what do we do when we hit these hard places where we're going, I don't feel like doing it? I'm going to say, nope. I'm going to pick up my cross, and I'm going to follow the Lord. And I know that when I do that, I will be blessed. Amen. And I was so blessed that I met Jack the next week. Amen. All right. So let me give you some blessings. Everybody love the blessings? So if you follow, deep faith follows God. Here's some of the blessings. Ready? When we follow Jesus, we will grow spiritually and find freedom where we struggle. That's found in 1 Peter 2:2. All right. Next one. God, when we follow Jesus, God will flood us with joy and purpose. Okay, that's in John 15, 9 through 11, Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Oh, you'll have to get my notes. Sorry about that. So I always go, Pastor Sherry, you give all these scriptures really fast, and I just did hers. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. All right, so come see my notes, all right? Now, this next one. God, he will reveal secret things and himself to us. When you follow God, you're listening to him, you're obeying him, he reveals secrets, okay? Those secrets are his plans for your life. Those secrets could be, hey, I want you to hear this so I can protect you, okay? So following God reveals secrets, okay? The other one, I like this next one here, ready? He will reveal secrets and himself. When you follow God, you're hanging out with him, you're listening to him, he's going to reveal himself big to you. It's not just, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, okay? I mean, he just starts showing. And that's my prayer. Father God, I want to know the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of your love. And he says, good, sit down, follow me, hang out with me, okay? So that's how, following God, all right. All right, let me give you the last one. I saved the last for the best. Here we go. Deep faith serves people. Deep faith serves people. Now, Jesus talks about this. I didn't say this. He said this. Jesus said this in scriptures, okay? So one day, Jesus has this mom come to him. James and John's mom come to Jesus, right? And not James, the half-brother. This is James and John, sons of thunder, okay? So she comes to him and she says, you know, Jesus, can I ask you a question? When you get into your kingdom, can my boys, one sit at the left and one sit at the right. Now, if you read that and you're like, go have a seat, whatever. No. That means the highest position you can have in a kingdom was to sit at the right hand of the leader and the left hand. So she goes in, like mamas, okay? And he goes, sorry, mom, it's not for me to decide. My father gets to decide that. And besides, they will have to drink my cup, the cup of suffering. And then he just kind of shoos her away nicely, because and she says, don't worry about it. The problem was, here's mom, and right behind him was James and John, okay, and then they go their way. But you know what's behind, who was behind James and John? The other 10, and they hear this, and they are mad. The Bible says they were angry at them. Like, I bet you there was a whole bunch of mama jokes. Your mama wears da 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 da. Okay? Okay, so they just go ballistic over there, and Jesus reels them in, and he says, hey, boys, calm down, okay? And he says, you got to stop fighting. This is how the world does it. That's how the world is. Who's going to be the greatest? You know, sit on the right, sit left. He says, but I want to tell you what the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, this is how it is, okay? So he starts telling them, Matthew chapter 20, here we go, 20, verse 26. He's going to talk about serving people, right? Matthew 20, 26. Not so with you all, believers, followers. Instead, whoever wants to be great, everybody say great, must be your servant. Verse 27, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave. I mean, servant's bad, but I think slave is stronger. Worser, as my kids would say, right? So you got servant, and now you have a slave, righty? Verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. So Jesus is giving us this example, okay? So what's he saying? God calls people great that are servers. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because most of you are in the choir. But I just want to encourage you, okay? Whether you serve here at YCF or serve parachurch ministries, Harvest of Blessings, Life Path, Bible clubs, and all that stuff, God says when you serve, he calls you great. Everybody go, I'm great. Make sure yours. No. Okay. So how does God determine who's great? The one who lays their life down. Okay, and you know, we're in the world, and they have all sorts of, like, who they think is great. But God says the one who lays their life down is the one who's great. And then he talks about first. First is like the highest. First is the highest. And now I know we're saved by grace through faith and not of works. But listen, God, someday I'm going to leave this planet. You're going to leave this planet. And if you're, you know, and you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ in heaven, and God says, I'm going to, there's going to be people, some of y'all that are first because they served. I like being first. Did any of your kids, okay, this is a fun story, call shotgun? Man, blood some days, knocking and driving through windows. Why? You want to be the first to be shotgun, right? Just think about this. I want to be first, but I'm not going to do shotgun thing and push everybody out and do all that. But first is I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve serve almost like a slave to the to people people God puts in front of me. I'm going to say just serve passionately. All right? That makes you first. Okay, now, I have to say this because you have to have balance in your life. You can't go 24/7 doing the serving thing, okay? Because I'll get a call that you're in the hospital, and you just burn out. So you have responsibilities. Anybody have responsibilities? I'll give you some of mine. Okay, you have responsibilities. You have families, okay? So you have to have balance. But he says if you're great, you're going to still serve. You're going to serve. So there's a balance to it. Praise God, balance. Amen. So we have to have this attitude, I am going to serve the Lord passionately, and that's what he calls great. Amen? All right. I think I'm just going to skip. Okay, let's go to the blessings, okay? And then we're going to wrap up. I love the blessings. So if I have deep faith, I'm going to serve people. If I have deep faith, I'm going to serve people. If I have deep faith, I'm going to serve people. Listen to this. When we serve in God's family, he calls us great and makes us first in eternity in heaven, right? And we just talked about that, Matthew 20. Listen to this one. Serving brings glory to God. How many of you want to bring glory to God? Come on. So I'm going to serve. It brings glory to God. 1 Peter 4:11, that's where it's found, all right? Then serving helps Christians grow spiritually. I mean, it just knocks self out of the window, right? And that's found in Ephesians 4:16, okay? And that happens here now and this week, I'm sure. Next one, serving brings blessings into our life. And this is found in John 13. This is where Jesus said, you are to wash one another's feet. Everybody know the story about washing feet? Okay. Now, here's Jesus, the Son of God, the one who always existed, who came in a human body. And this is right before the Last Supper, right before they eat the supper meal, okay? And he grabs a towel and he starts washing the disciples' feet. And you know, one day I thought, all the disciples' feet, that means Judas. He was going to wash Judas' feet, okay? So, and then Judas goes out the back door. Okay, Pastor D, Stam check. So he's washing everybody's feet. And now think about it. They didn't live with nice roads and sidewalks. This is a desert, and there's dirt and donkey dirt. And he's going to wash these feet, right? So he starts to do this, and his disciples are like, no, don't do this, because that's what a servant does. You walk into someone's house, they had a servant assigned to wash your feet. Praise God, all right? And they start going, no, you can't do it, you can't do this. And he said, I have to do this for an example, all right? So Jesus is saying there's an example in this, right? Now, and I was also thinking, so you got 12 big guys. What size shoe do you wear? 12. Some of you, like, big feet. So it probably washed a couple of them, and that water got dirty, and he probably had to get more water and wash the rest of them, all 12 of them, had to change the water a couple times. This is what I think about when I have coffee in the morning, okay? Anyway, but here's what I want to say. Jesus wasn't just saying that literally, that we go around and we have foot washing, okay? He was saying this, I want you to have a servant attitude. Everybody say attitude. Okay? So, after he washed all their feet, okay, he goes to them and he goes, hey, you understand what I did, right? And all of us, like me, would be, oh, yeah, I know what you do. I'm like, does he want me to wash Peter's feet? Peter's got big feet. They stink. Is that what he means? What? And they're probably all going, oh, is that, oh, I wonder what he meant. But we said, oh, yeah, I did it, okay? And then Jesus says, if you do this, you will be blessed. Everybody say, I like to be blessed. If you have a servant heart, you'll be blessed. Everybody say serve. Blessed, all right? All right. So I am so excited. So every time I hear a scripture, and every time today I dished out scriptures to you, you can apply it and have deep faith. Amen. You can, all right? So we're going to pray, all right? And I want you to think. Just bow your heads, close your eyes, think. Ask God, just give a quick, ask God, God, what is it I need to do to change? What is it I need to do to have deep faith in my life? Could I love you at a higher level? Okay. Is there any people I need to stop pleasing? And remember, you are the first love, and I'm going to please you. Lord, is there any, how about this one? Any scriptures that just keep going like ching, ching, ching in your face, and it's time to do it or don't do it, right? How about this? Ask the Lord, Lord, how can I pick up my cross and follow you? Lord, how can I serve you, love you, and follow you at a deeper level? Amen. 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 So, faith comes by hearing, and hearing scriptures. So I just dished out scriptures, and they'll be on my front row here and stuff like that. But aren't you thankful for the Word of God? Man, I'm prettier with the Word of God, amen? So just bow your heads. Let me pray. Father, I thank you that you are showing us how to go deeper with you. Father, our desire is to hear and to go deeper with you. I thank you for showing all of us here how to go deeper. We want to be like Noah. We want to go, yes, I obey, I'll build the ark, okay? Lord, we want to have deep faith. Thank you that we are equipped to have deep faith through your word, your instructions, your word. And we will follow you. We will go deep. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, one more thing. You know, it's called salvation faith, okay? And if you're here let me ask you this. What have you done with Jesus? So I had Jesus in a church, and I visit him on Sunday and leave him there, okay? Because I really didn't know him. And one day someone said, Dee, you have to ask him to come into your life because he's a gentleman. So I'm going to ask again, what have you done with Jesus? If you're here and you're like, you know, deer in a headlight, and you would like to ask Jesus to come into your life, he is standing at the door and he's knocking. And today's the day of salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. So, one more time, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, I want to do something with Jesus. I'd like to ask him into my life. Could you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. Just raise your hand and say, Pastor D, that's me. I need to have Jesus in my life. I am ready for him to come into my life. Okay? I'll tell you what. Change the way you live. Great things happen. All right. All right. I didn't see any hands go up. So look at the people at the right and say, hey, family. Look at the left, say, you're my family. Amen. Go out and love big and go deep with God. Father, I thank you for everybody. I thank you that the word is working and changed us in Jesus' name. If you would like prayer for anything, come.